Hello and welcome to the fourth Manx Footy Pod of the 2019-20 season. Today, myself and Dave,
I'm Rob,
are joined by ex-Douglas Royal and Douglas High School Old Boys defender Adam Budgeon to talk about mental health charity Reach. Adam, welcome to Podcast HQ.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in. Thanks for joining us today. Talk through a very important initiative, this, isn't it, Dave?
Certainly is, yeah. It's a hot topic of conversation, isn't it?
But it's good. We're going to talk about that. It is becoming more... People are talking about mental health now, which is great. And yeah. It's one of the questions we're going to talk to you a bit about later. Because when we were growing up, there wasn't really much of a discussion around it. But now there is, because of people like you and stuff like this. So hopefully we can open a few more doors today. But before we get into all the seriousness, it's time for the biscuits, Adam. Now, when I messaged you, you said, make sure you get some good ones for me. Now, the packet sort of stood out to me, and the fact they were a quid, I'm not going to lie. Fox's Party Rings Minis. Now, have you had them?
Never had the Minis, no.
Well, I presume they're just the offcuts from the big ones, but I'm not involved.
Yeah, yeah. I think so. It looks like it. I'm going to go for the pink one. So these are my little boy's favourite biscuits.
Okay,
you can take the rest of the pack. If
there's any left. If there's any left. So do we dip these off?
No, you can do what you want, mate. You know.
I'm going to go for the dip.
Oh.
They're proper crunchy, though.
Very crunchy. If you had any loose technical work, I wouldn't recommend these, would you?
How you tell me?
They remind me of the little midget gems you used to get.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, isn't it? Do you not get midget gems anymore?
No, I don't think you can you?
Oh, this is big news.
Campaign.
If you can, they're going to be about £2 these days.
With £1,000 Freddos as well. Yeah.
Well, you may want to stock up because they're only a quid. Tony Steele will be happy. He's only a quid in the co-op at the moment, so that's why I saw them. But other
shops are available.
Yeah. But yeah, they're all right then, but they're very sugary. I feel like I'm going to be riding a wave after this.
Yeah, you didn't need any sugar in your tea there.
Yeah, thanks for that. I hope we stop talking in a minute.
Well, of course, Adam, we've got you in to discuss this new charity, Reach, and it's, you know, why it's been set up and stuff like that. So people might have seen on social media, and you've obviously done other stuff as well. You've done your podcast now yourself and things like that. But for those of people that haven't really heard of it, what is sort of Reach in a bit of a nutshell, if you want?
So Reach is a place where people can come where they're not going to be judged. Obviously, we're not professionals. We're not medically trained, anything like that. We're there to just help people through our own experiences, whether that be breaking the first barrier, so getting people actually talking and then helping them signpost to where they can get real help. Obviously, you're waiting 12, 18 months these days to see someone professionally.
Yeah,
you can pay privately if you've got loads of money, but most people haven't got that amount of money to be thrown away. So I think it's literally just about breaking that first barrier. We'd always say to people, go and see your GP first, go and see what they have to say, and then you can come to us and we can help maybe bridge that 12-month gap and just help support people, give people little tips, show people things that we've listened to, read, like I was saying to you before about little things on panic attacks. I've read all these things online, so it's all there for people.
Mm.
So it's just about being that sort of friend that can help them through that 12-month period if they do need professional help. I've never seen anyone professionally, so I got myself out of that hole that I was in by studying, really.
Well, you touched on it there, and I know it's a very personal thing to you. This Reach has sort of been born out of an experience you've had, hasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's quite crazy to think about it, to be honest. Right. I mean,
because you posted on Facebook, and it's all sort of kicked off from there.
Just went boom, yeah. It's like someone threw a match in it, and it just went boom. Yeah. So I posted my story online after I got out of it because I thought, you know, so many people that will be sitting in silence, like I was, sitting at home, not being able to talk to anyone. I spoke to a couple of my mates that were unbelievable throughout the whole thing. The rest of them, obviously being lads, they were, you know, saying stop being lazy, that kind of thing. Mm. And I just didn't want to tell them. I felt quite embarrassed about it.
There is that stigma there, isn't there?
It's huge. I think hopefully we're breaking it down a little bit now. Yeah. But yeah, I wanted to reach the people that were maybe sat in their house, not being able to get outside and do these things. And I thought maybe my reach would be a little bit bigger with obviously being affiliated with sport and stuff. Mm. So yeah, I posted it and I didn't cut any corners. I told people exactly how my life was for 12 months and I posted at the end of it, if anyone wants to talk, come around, my door's open, let's have a cup of tea. And I think it was like 30 people in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Honestly.
And were they people that you knew or was it a case that it was people that have just seen... Someone had shared the post and it's like, oh, I could actually do a talking to someone. And maybe it helped that you were sort of someone they didn't know.
Maybe, yeah. And maybe my age helped a little bit. and the fact that people know me, know my personality. They know that I don't try not to judge too many things. Quite open about things. I think it got liked and shared over like 2,000 times.
Wow.
In literally in like 48 hours though.
Yeah.
I got a phone call off an old lady in was it Marrakesh, I think. Wow. Honestly, in Marrakesh.
More international than this podcast.
Yeah, literally in Marrakesh, and I sat for an hour on the phone with her, and she just told me about her life, what she dealt with, how she got through things, and it was just brilliant. Like, messages from Australia, America, literally, I can't believe how it just went bang so quickly.
Yeah.
And obviously that brought us to the point where we thought, well, I can really help people here. I can give people some tools that maybe help themselves.
Yeah.
And that's when I called Luke Adebay, who helped me through when I was dealing with things. And I said, what do you think? And he was like, yeah, let's do it. And that's when we got other people involved, Tanya, David Cretney, now Erica Bellhouse and Jonathan Leese.
So the charity officially launched in July, didn't it?
July.
And Michael Gaming's building, wasn't it? And so we were now in September, aren't we, nearly in October. How's the first few months gone?
A bit of a whirlwind, to be honest. A little bit of a whirlwind. I mean, my day-to-day is so different. I mean, I'm in school on Wednesday, so I'm in Ramsey Grammar every Wednesday, working with the kids that, you know, that want to talk, that want to open up a little bit. And I'm not a teacher, so maybe it's a little bit easier for them to open up. From younger people to older people to teachers, my day-to-day is completely different.
Yeah.
But like I say, I you can't get that feeling anywhere else, I don't think.
No.
You know, when you've really helped someone.
I was going to say, you know, obviously you're helping a lot of people with their mental health. How is that affecting your mental health? Is it a good thing? You thinking, oh, it's actually what I've been missing almost, you know, this sort of pastoral care thing that you do?
Maybe. I mean, when I left school, I was a bit of a nightmare in school, so I had a couple of teachers that will stick with me, you know, for the rest of my life.
Mm.
And they really helped me through school. And when I left school, I always thought I'd love to give back to people in school and be that support kind of network. Just never came about. My grades weren't good enough. Nothing was there. There was no foundation for me to do it. So, yeah, I think once this came about and this whole thing opened up, it was a bit like, oh, maybe I was meant to do this. Maybe I was meant to help people in this way.
Yeah.
And maybe it took that really bad experience in my life to make this happen.
People probably will confide in you because you know they know you've been there. Do you know what I mean? They know you can relate to some of the things they're going through. And obviously, I know mental health is a wide spectrum, and things that may affect some person isn't going to be the same thing that's affected you or someone else. So, but they may think, oh, I know Adam's been through this, and he's coming out the other side of it. Or, you know, so do you think that helps that people sort of
definitely
buy into that?
Definitely. I mean, when I went to see my doctor about it, I just didn't feel like he understood at all, and he sort of said to me, look, I haven't got enough training within the mental health. And, you know, I respect him for saying that because I've had this same doctor for since I was a kid, so I respect that he said that to me. But then I spoke to Luke, and everything Luke was saying I was sort of resonating with. I was thinking, wow, maybe this is in my mind, and maybe I can change it because other people are changing their own mindsets. How do I do that? And yeah, now I do little things throughout the day to make sure that my mental health is back to where it was. Mm. I mean, I feel pretty much back to where I was before all this happened.
Yeah.
I think it is really helping me.
You mentioned, you see it as a sort of stepping stone for people to get that professional help almost, etc. But do you think it'll end up being that you have these links, you actually have proper ties with medical professions and things like that in the future, and it becomes a way that almost doctors will refer people to you in a way, so I think going forward?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's one of our goals, is to work closely with, you know, your crisis team, government especially, to try and help, because I think the third sector needs help a little bit more with around this kind of thing, because government are, you know, funds aren't endless.
Yeah, they're stretched.
They are very stretched, and the third sector can really help in this. And I think working like in collaboration with other people, we can definitely make some sort of difference anyway. And I think so anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We talk about now, so we talked about it before, you mentioned the word stigma, Dave, and
yeah.
What do you think we as a society, we are now, through the work of guys like you, but as a society as a whole, we're starting to break down the stigma around mental health a little bit. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so.
But my question was then going to be, is it more the society we live in, and you know, either on social media or, you know, that's a stick that's often beaten and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Does that maybe increase people's, the chances they're going to have mental health problems, rather than say 20 years ago when there wasn't all the different pressures in this instant lifestyle we live in, you know, where everything's all about instant gratification and stuff like that? Or do you think there's always been mental health problems there? It's just now we're talking about them more. I know I've got, there's probably about 3 or 4 questions there, but you know,
I don't think there's one answer either. Yeah. I think social media definitely plays a big part. Definitely. Mm. Going back to when we were younger, there was no phones, there was nothing like that. You had to go out every night. You had to learn basic human skills, I suppose.
Mm.
Using football is one, going out and getting beat by the bigger lads at nights. You learn how to lose, and you learn how to come back as a stronger person, I think. You know, you don't let little things get to you so much. And I think the younger generation nowadays lets things affect them so much more. But you've got to remember that they're on 24-hour watch now.
Yeah.
They can't get away from their phone. They can't get away from being judged. So I think it's more about... I don't think social media is the problem. Well, partly is the problem, but I think it's the way we use social media.
Yeah.
Mm. How do we teach young people how to use it when we don't really know how to use it? Yeah. Nobody's ever given us a manual, have they, and said, this is how you should use social media.
And it's something that's evolving all the time.
Yeah, can't go back from it now.
No, the platforms that are available, the way that those platforms are used, the way that those what they're used for, that's changing constantly. So it's almost like we're trying to get something that's already down, running down the hill, isn't it? We're trying to catch something.
It's going to be a long chase, I think.
I
mean, go, like, you've got your apps and stuff, and you've got your filters, so you can see somebody on one of their platforms, and they look completely different to real life.
Yeah.
So I think that also has an effect on them, because they don't want to be seen as that person. They want to be seen as the person that's online.
Mm.
So I think that, with anxiety and stuff like that, I think it plays a massive part. Definitely plays a massive part, especially with younger people.
Mm.
I think, we have to talk as well, the positive side of social media, what you guys are doing online. I think everything's positive that you put out there. I mean, just the other day you put up a poem from, was it Will Blissett?
Will.
Yeah, it was a fantastic poem put out there, and it had so much positive feedback.
Yeah.
And you've now put that platform there for people to do stuff like that, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, it seems a bit weird.
Yeah.
In a sense that, you know, people come to us to be able to sort of do them kind of things. But Will's a great kid, really great kid, and he struggled in the past. He had an accident when he was younger, and he had a long road to recovery. And I met him in Ramsey Grammar, obviously, when I'm working in there, and he came up and he showed me one of his poems, and I thought, wow, I read the poem and I thought, this is pretty good.
Mm.
So I've gone out of the background now to try and get him into different clubs over here.
Mm.
Yeah.
To try and promote it a little bit more, because he's really, like, that one that he did the other day on suicide awareness. Mm. Wow.
Amazing.
It wasn't incredible.
Mm.
So he's got great talent, and hopefully we can help more people bring out that side of them.
And it's a way of dealing. You've talked about football. We'll talk about a bit more. But creativity or poetry or
some sort of outlet,
it's an outlet for you, and that's all good for your mental health, isn't it?
Well, anything that's positive for your mental health, you need to keep doing and do a lot of it.
So let's talk about football a little bit. We'll kick off by talking about let's talk about some areas we kick off. So the picture we used to promote the podcast was you guys at the Charity Shield, and they've got Reach's logo now on the warm-up top, haven't they? So how did that come about? Because it's a great way to spread the word, really, isn't it?
Yeah, so St Mary's have played quite a big part in my footballing life, I suppose. I was there when I was a kid. Peter Roberts got me into the first team when I was younger. Then it went on to Langy. So they've always played a big part, and obviously my mates, Alex Harrison and Josh Thomas, Craig Murphy, they all went there. So I sort of went to follow, because I stopped playing completely, and I thought I'd just watch it for a bit. And obviously Darren was there, so went to watch. And they came to me, it was Anthony Dooley, came to me and said, look, how do you feel about maybe putting the logo on the top? And I thought, it's such a great idea.
Yeah.
And it was Maclow, the building firm,
yeah.
that you know, got the tops for everyone, and they went with it and said, yeah, let's definitely put it on. So yeah, it's unbelievable. I think if anything, it just raises awareness and it gets people talking about the logo.
If you talk
about the logo, then you're going to talk about what it means. So it's big.
But I suppose the football environment, the changing room environment, and we talk about men are the worst, aren't they, for discussing their feelings and stuff. Now, the changing room can be the best and the worst of places, can't it? You know, we talk about, you said, what is it, the phrase you use, people say you were lazy or whatever like that. Yeah. And it's like, or the man up.
Man up, it's horrendous,
isn't it?
Yeah.
But football can bring a lot of good, isn't it, for the mental health as well?
You know, of course.
Because it maybe can give you that confidence. Is someone that you could speak to, but also as an outlet every Saturday to go and have a run around or train twice a week or whatever as well, isn't it? So do you still think is a place where men still struggle to discuss their mental health issues is in the changing rooms, or do you think maybe we're sort of on that tipping point where people will open up?
I mean, hopefully, we're on the way, you know, down now. We're sort of hitting it a little bit better, but I think it's a hard place to sort of talk about your mental health in a changing room. You know, you've got 13, 14 lads who socially it's a great environment to be around. Like it can put a smile on your face in the worst situations, but also it can be the darkest place. You know, if you've just lost a match and everyone's at each other, it can be one of the darkest places you can be. I don't know really. I mean, football clubs as a whole, I think, can really help you, because there is always, you know, that one or two players within the club that will put their arm around you and say, you know, how are you? What's actually going on? But then you've got the WhatsApp groups and all that.
Banter
can be taken seriously sometimes. So the more work we do, I think, around football, the more people will start to understand.
Do you think that'll be, you've thought about, you've got into schools. Do you think that maybe in the next step, you start going into
100%.
Football clubs or other sporting clubs? And
stuff we've already had a conversation with Tony Meppham and about trying to make it trying to make every club have a mental health first aider within their ranks.
Yeah.
So you've got your first aider who has to go and
do
all your first aid physical stuff. But there's not really anyone that understands how to listen to somebody properly and how to answer them back without, you know, maybe overthinking it too much. So we're looking at providing every club with a mental health first aider.
And it would be someone that would sort of keep an eye on everyone as well.
Yeah, somebody who will spot signs.
Yeah.
So on the mental health first aid course, I went to Leeds and did it, and it just gives you like a little toolkit to understand people. And maybe it'd be a player comes in and, you know, they haven't shaved and they just look a bit down.
Yeah.
That will automatically click in your mind and think, well, maybe I'll ask them how they're doing. And it's not just asking them once, how are they doing? It's maybe keeping at them a little bit and making sure that they're not just saying, yeah, I'm fine.
But they're not. Yeah.
So that they know there's someone there for them.
Exactly. Yeah. And it will become easier for them then to open up a little bit more.
And it is something that's in the pipeline, an event is Paul Turner's obviously going to be doing a charity walk, isn't he?
Yeah.
On October 5th.
Full taxi.
Full taxi.
Legend it is.
Won't be in a taxi.
No, not. But yes.
Yeah, so I might be.
So he's going to walk around the TT course and he's going to call in a number of football clubs on the way, isn't he? He's trying to raise awareness and raise money for charity, isn't he? Which is a fantastic thing to do.
Yeah, it's God. Yeah, good luck to him. I mean, that's a long way, isn't it?
Yeah.
When he said that to me, I thought, oh God, that is a long way and it's a big challenge. But yeah, fair play to Taxi. You know, he's been around since I was younger at Old Boys, and he's one of them characters that you know you always see about, and everyone knows his name, and you'll hear him before you see him. But yeah, he's a great character, and you know, I wish him all the best for this, and I really thank him for doing it for us. We've worked closely with Paul, and he's a great guy.
Yeah.
Again, he's another, hope it doesn't mind me saying, but he's had a tough year, hasn't he? He's had a few issues, but he seems to have turned a corner. I mean, I bumped into him a couple of weeks ago. He seems much happier, much more relaxed. He's looking healthier. You know, he's lost a lot of weight.
He has lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
He's been out walking a lot.
He's getting into shape for this. So, no, I think, this plays into it with it. He's turned that corner. He's helping himself. So good luck to Paul with that walk.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you mentioned tough years. And we should really mention Stephen Glover. One of the great players in Manx football over the last 10 years. Unfortunately, lost his life this year. And obviously, you just think maybe if this your charity had been about even a year ago, he would have hopefully reached out to you.
Yeah, not just one of the great footballers, one of the great characters as well. Mm. He was one that would always put a smile on your face. I've got some great memories of Steve.
We all have.
I do. I think he's one of them people in life, especially over here, that no matter what level you play at, everyone knows your name because you're just a nice guy. Down to earth, nice guy. And who knows? I mean, I wish there was more help there for him, but you can't always find that when you need it. I suppose over here it's quite a hard thing to find, but hopefully we'll make a difference. And
you are making a difference.
I hope so. And I, tough one, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, it shouldn't take things like that to make people aware, but
it does
make people aware. And hopefully hopefully we can do something for him and his family over the next year, maybe within football.
Well, yeah, you saw when that happened, the outpouring of support. I mean, it really is a footballing family over here, isn't it?
When that happened, it was obviously
it was tragic, but it was nice to see that the community came together for the family, wasn't it?
So. Yeah, massive. But no, it's all great stuff you're doing, Adam. Are you thinking about getting back into football at any point? the last spell was at Royal, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was at Royals. That was a tough year, that. Yeah. Really tough year. And I've not had a year like it because obviously I started off at St Mary's. They were a really good team at the time, and then I moved to Geordies, and I was in and out of that team when Judge got injured. So, and then I went to Old Boys, and Old Boys never really used to get beat that often. It was sort of a top four team, and then Fino got onto me and said, I how do you fancy it coming down? And I felt like it was the right time to sort of do something like that. Loads of young kids, literally their first year, some of them coming in halfway through the year when they were of age, and it felt like, he made me captain at the time, and it felt like, I had to put my arm around them and I had to worry about them a little bit more. And it maybe affected my game.
Right.
But also it had a big effect on some of the younger lads. I mean, I still talk to Dan Smith frequently, Jacob Crook, Lucas Simmons, like really good players.
Really good players.
Yeah. And great kids as well. And yeah, I think that just really had an effect on me. It was such a tough... It came down to the last game, I think, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had to... Who was it against? We had to draw or win, I think. But it was just so draining throughout the whole year. And it sort of... At the end of the year, and this all happened in my life, I sort of thought, I can't go back to it. And I went to play against Old Boys, my old team. Last game of the season, I think it was. We beat them 4-2. And I shouldn't have really played because I wasn't in the right frame of mind. I was still having panic attacks quite frequently, and I went on and I played the first 10 minutes, and I remember just looking around and I couldn't see anyone. My head started to spin and I thought, I'm going to collapse, and I sat down on the floor. This was after 10 minutes, and I said to Fina, look, you're going to have to bring me off. And that was probably the turning point in my footballing career because it happened at Old Boys and around everyone that I'd sort of grown up with, and I didn't really know how to not let it happen again. So that really affected me in a sense of playing football again. I thought to myself, I don't want that to ever happen again, especially on a football pitch. So I never went back. But now I'm probably in the frame of mind where I could do if I wanted to. But I've got so much going on. And I really enjoy watching it,
Yeah.
Really enjoy watching it. I'm quite... What's the word? Is it analytical?
Yeah.
I love formations, things like that, and
you coach them. That sounds
a bit.
Yeah.
Well, I've done a bit. Obviously, I coached Old Boys Combi when I did my shoulder in.
Yeah,
I was only 22 at the time, and obviously all the lads were older than me, so it was a hard thing to do. But I loved it. I really did love it, and I probably could, if I was going to do anything, I'd look at doing that again.
Yeah,
because I feel like maybe my management is maybe one of my strong points.
Yeah.
Maybe not my feet, maybe the man management. So if anything, possibly that.
Yeah. It's weird because obviously sometimes when players are forced to take up management because of an injury, they find it really hard because they're frustrated because they feel they could be out there doing a better job, basically.
God, yeah, I felt that a lot.
Did you?
Yeah, a lot. But I probably couldn't have been doing a better job. I just felt like that a lot. You see, well, you see now, if you look on the sideline at Old Boys, you've got Tommy Miller.
Yeah.
Jeez, he doesn't stop shouting, does he? even with his cast on his leg, he's up and down the touchline, shouting and bawling. He's writing in his tactic book. I mean, some people do find it really hard. I sort of fell into it, and I loved it from the word go. Mm. And I found it quite satisfying, I suppose.
Mm.
The year I did it, it was such a tough year. It got down to final game of the season on a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
We had to go away to Peel. And we had to win the league. And one of my players got injured, one of my wingers, and we had Jay Corrin at the time, and he was very much like in behind the strikers type of player. Really good with his feet, not a lot of pace. You know, he wasn't the fittest guy in the world. And I said to him before the game, look, I want you to play on the right today, but I don't need to run up and down. I don't need to run. So just get the ball to your feet and play the passes that we need in behind, because we had Craig Murphy and Dean France who would score goals for us.
Yeah, yeah.
So as long as the balls were there, and that worked an absolute treat. Absolute treat. And we ended up, I think it was 2-0 we won.
Yeah, well, it is mentioned later on by Hattie, first match, I believe. So.
Oh, is it? Right, yeah, we'll talk more about that later.
Yeah. So no, not a committed answer there, because I've kind of hoping we'd see you back doing a crunch and tackle on your brother down at the bowl again.
One
of my favourite photos I've taken was you absolutely annihilated. It was a clean tackle, but it was
great tackle.
Absolutely brutal.
I've got that on my wall at home. Yeah, I've got it blown up on my wall. Yeah.
We've talked about, we've had Chris in before, obviously, and we talk about when, I think, I don't know if you were playing for Old Boys at the time, when Nick Bass had the game of his life and marked
Chris
out the game.
Unbelievable, wasn't it?
And I think they stopped them winning the Grand Slam that year.
Yeah, yeah, Old Boys won. I think they went 2-0 up in the first. Like,
yeah, Robbie
10
scored
minutes,
a good free kick.
Free kick, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Trademark, the one on the left foot.
That was Nick Bass's best ever game. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen the video of Dicko in the change rooms.
Have you seen that video? The one at the combi, the junior cup.
Yeah, the junior cup.
Yeah.
So he's gone from that to marking his brother out of the game. So Dicko might have something to do with that.
But the question I was going to ask is it tough playing against your brother? Or do you feel
I loved it.
Yeah, was it just extra motivation?
Extra motivation, because Darren's a good player, like a really good player. And coming up against him, I thought, I've got your cards. Like, I know what you're going to do, and I know how to get into you. You know, he's one of them players that he's very much, if his first touch is good, then he's going to have a good game.
Yeah.
If his first touch is bad, or you get into his head, then he's not going to be a big part of that game. So I thought straight away, I'm going to get into him. I'm going to tell him he's crap. I'm going to say, you're not going to score today, mate. And then the first tackle that was there, he knocked it past me, and I thought, right, this is it. It's teed up perfectly, ball straight in front of him. I was just outside the penalty box, so I thought, if I do catch him, I'm all right.
Yeah.
So I went all in, and yeah, what a great tackle that was.
Absolutely murdered him.
Yeah. You remember that one?
Yeah. Yeah. So we've got a few questions in for you from our various social media channels. Starting off with, you've talked about him before, the Ramsey legend that is Jogger Lees, Jonathan Lees, who's a director.
He's a legend, isn't he?
Yeah. Isn't Bella clone. He's a director, he's to do with Reach, isn't he?
He's one of our directors. He was with us last night at the award ceremony. So yeah, he's a big part of what we're doing.
Yeah.
He's been a massive help to us.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should have touched on this. They're now award-winning charity.
Finalists. Finalists. Yeah, we were nominated for Responsible Business Award.
Oh, well done.
We were there last night. It was on the big screen.
Oh.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
From that to this.
I prefer this, to be honest. Tuxedos don't fit me very well.
Oh, I saw the picture and it, so you look very smart, mate.
Thank you very much.
So Jogger says, what's your funniest football story?
My funniest football story. God, that is a I have got a good one, actually. Oh, this is a good one. So we went away. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, actually. So we went away to Nottingham with the Ireland under 18s, and we were in the quarterfinals, it was, of the County Cup. And we won the game, went back to the hotel, the Premier Inn at the time. Obviously, half of us were under 18, so they weren't allowed to drink, anything like that. But yeah, we got hold of a little bit of Blue Wicked. And so many people are going to laugh about this. We went back upstairs into Anthony Moore's room. So Moots.
Yeah.
Went back up to Moots' room and had a little bit of a party, shall we say. And it ended up with blue and red wicked all over the walls and heads upside down and everything like that. I remember Moot went missing for a little bit, and we were like, "Oh God, like he's done one, he's ran out." We had to go and run down the road to try and find him because he thought he's going to get done for this. So obviously no one mentioned it. like the coaches, Burnsy at the time, and
was it Kev?
Yeah, yeah. Kev Manning.
Yeah.
We didn't mention it, and we got away with it. We thought we got away with this. Next week we go down to King William's College for training. All the FA are there, aren't they? The whole FA are there, and they get everyone in. Right, they said, "Listen, we're on the cusp of getting every Manx sporting team kicked out of Premier Inns across England." I mean, oh, what have we done? Anyway, yeah, we got a little bit reprimanded for that. But great story, quality story.
Don't forget that one,
anyway. No, I've never forget that. Literally, never forget it.
He's also asked, growing up watching Ramsey play, who was your favourite player? I don't know if that's a loaded question, because obviously Jogger patrolled the midfield for several, well, many a season.
Jogger was the one that had always thrown that nasty tackle, and the one that was hated. So he's probably one of my favourite to watch, but. Obviously, watching my dad playing at Ramsey was—he's probably my favourite player to watch. And obviously, Higgy was there as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Higgy was some player, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd probably say my dad.
That's good. Good to keep the family on side. Yeah. Next question.
Talking of Ramsey legends.
Yeah. Oh yes. Agent Rashid.
This I've never seen him before. Is this him? Is it?
Yeah. It's the mug. Yeah.
What a character.
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
Titleist hat as well. Yeah. Good stuff.
Well, there you go. He says, "Hi, Adam. Hope you're well and enjoying a brew out of my mug." Question number one: can you give us any insight into Darren's decision to break your dad's heart and move from Ramsey back to St Mary's? What a turnaround.
We're calling it a Dave Unsworth in the sports desk, aren't we?
Yeah.
Do you remember Dave Unsworth signed from West Ham for Aston Villa for about 2 days and then moved to Everton, didn't he?
God, I've never ever been able to answer questions about Darren and his decisions. Honestly, I've never been able to do it. I know he went down there, and it's always something he's wanted to go back to do, is to help Ramsey. And he trained, and he was training well, and he was playing well in pre-season. I was watching the games, and I think it was a good move from at the time. I think Ramsey was a good move because, you know, St Mary's, he'd done everything he wanted to do. And he's getting to that age now where he's got a little boy, and he does various other things as well. And I don't think the commitment was going to be there. Like, as obviously St Mary's are on a different level with commitment.
Al's
got them fit, like really fit, whereas dropping down at, you know, a level or two, it becomes a little bit less intense, I suppose.
Yeah.
And I think Darren wanted that, and he went there, and I think he missed the intensity.
Yeah.
And I just don't think he was getting it at Ramsey. I don't think they were putting in the commitment, so
he just wanted to be closer to the Stockies as well, didn't
That's
he?
That's what he thinks he's some. Yeah, he thinks he's Colin McRae or something. Unbelievable. Yeah, well, but I think that's the reason.
As it turns out, obviously, Josh got injured in Charity Shield a few months, so he's back in the first team, isn't he?
Is he going to get in there, though? Hasley seems to be doing all right, doesn't he?
9 goals in 2 games, not too bad, is it?
So it's not
a bad start.
Not a bad return, no.
Oh, obviously, St Mary's going up to Ramsey tomorrow. So
that's right, we'll be there watching that, yeah.
Yeah,
so don't forget you've got Craig Murphy's just coming back from an injury as well.
Yeah, of course, good player.
And him and Hasley could work together, and Darren and Craig obviously played every game, mostly together last year, and they won the league. So
21 goals, I think. He's
something like that. Tough for Al, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not a bad selection, Henrik.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's not bad.
So the next question from Agent Rashid is your dad the best footballer in the family? We also had another question from Matthew Curfey on Facebook as well. He said, who's better, you, Darren, or your old man back in his prime?
My old man trumps us in his prime, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He definitely trumps us.
Darren has scored some goals now. We should have looked at his Premier League return, though. He must be up there, because obviously you've got Pekka and Steedo
way above,
and then but Darren must be in that next.
He's got to be around there, yeah.
Because he seems to score 20 goals without really trying. You know, like he
frustrates the hell out of me, because he could. Oh God, it's just so painful to watch him sometimes, because he makes the wrong decisions. When they're so easy to, he's got the goal in front of him, and they try and wrap his laces straight through it, and next minute it's gone over the fence, and you think, why didn't he not just slot that? He's got the ability.
Yeah.
You've seen some of his goals. Like he's got technique. He's got very good technique.
He's got the raw ingredients there, and he's very strong. And
but it's his head.
Yeah.
It's all in his head. It's the one thing I've always said to Darren, is it get your head in the game, and you can go and get that golden boot. I think he was at St Mary's couple of years ago, where he was leading the Golden Boot, and then he decided to just give it up. He just gave up and didn't play. Just thinking, what was there for you? Like, why did you not just take it? But yeah, I mean, Dad Dad trumps us all, yeah. No doubt.
Darren replied, actually, on that Facebook question. He said, the old man, him, Callum, Nathan, and then you.
I probably wouldn't. Probably not far wrong there. Not far wrong. Ask him about that tackle.
Yeah. See what he
says. Ask him how many goals he scored in that game, actually.
Oh, yeah.
So he's stock car racing now, is he?
Oh, God, don't ask. I don't know. I think so. He's always got a banger somewhere where he wants to go and...
Surely a big move to Onken then. He wouldn't have to leave.
Don't mention it, honestly, because I think he likes to go where the people are shouting him.
Yeah,
he's one of them. He likes to be cuddled, and you know he likes to be.
A
little stroke of the hair. You know, you're the best player.
But well, Tristan, if you're listening, there you go.
Get on him, Tristan. You've got him, I reckon.
Yeah. All right. Next question is from Hattie. He says, we talked about this before. He says, my most reported team at combi level is Old Boys. Of the most memorable matches, defeating Peel 2-0 at Douglas Road, winner takes all, then the league last league match of the 14-15 season, and you were involved. How much do you enjoy your Old Boys combi success? I think you won 3 titles in a row.
Yeah.
There was a time, it was just that you could almost give the Old Boys the title in bloody December, that you made such a start to the season, didn't you?
Yeah, that was incredible we did it with the ease, to be honest. But you know the thing that resonates from them 3 years is not winning the Junior Cup.
Yeah. You seem to have a black spot with that, didn't you?
We just couldn't do it. We'd come up against Rushing in either the quarters or the semi-final after beating them 5-6-0 throughout the year.
And they'd
do us 1-0 or 2-1. And it was so frustrating because we wanted it so badly.
Yeah.
And I think it was maybe because of that, we wanted it so badly that it just wasn't happening.
Wait, did you find that the squad... were happy to play combi, they wouldn't,
yeah.
Because obviously, if you were that good, would the first team manager not come on, can I have X, Y, or Z?
It's a bit of a tough one, isn't it? Obviously, you've got that sort of stigma around Old Boys that you've got that clicky kind of clickiness. And I mean, when I first went there, when Wall was in charge, it was very much the 11 was the 11, and you're probably not going to break into that unless somebody gets injured. And then it changed a little bit. Popeye changed it around a little bit. Sam Kenny changed it around a little bit. And yeah, there was a group of about 30 players that could easily have played either way. Easily. And I just think maybe the commitment was there from a little bit more from some of the first team lads than it was for the combi lads. But when they stepped up, the combi lads, they had no issue. Mm-hmm. And you see it now. You see likes of Fordy and people like that. They're now playing at Douglas Athletic.
Yeah.
They should have been playing first team, but maybe with Old Boys at that time, they were a good team, and they finished second, I think, 1 year. They won the, was it the FA Cup? Or
yeah, the Aussie Cup thing.
Yeah, the Hospital Cup, yeah. So they were a very good team. So it's not like it is now. It's not as easy as it is now to break into that team. Back then, it was a very strong team.
Yeah.
And there were some really good players there. So we were just fortunate, I think, to have such a great group of players and great... group of friends, I suppose.
Yeah,
everyone was friends, which was great. Great social club.
It's very much a transitional season for them now, isn't it? Because half of those first team players have hung up the boots, really.
Yeah. Taking up golf now.
Yeah,
all taking up golf. Yeah, I watched them at the weekend against St Mary's, and they did themselves proud. To be honest, the young lads did really well. Johnny Quirk up front, he'll score goals for them.
Yeah,
he will do. He is a good signing, and I think they just need to stick with it now. It was always going to happen at some point. We always knew that, Old Boys. It was going to happen because. We didn't bring a lot of players in. It was sort of, let's just keep going as we are. And it was always going to come a time where, you know, your King is and your Quirks, they were going to say, do you know what, we've got families now, we need to sort of take a step back, and happens to be this season, and now you're seeing...
Yeah, seeing what's happening.
Exactly, yeah. Hopefully they keep themselves going, though.
No, I think credit to Liam as well, sticking in the job.
I do, yeah.
People might have thought, when you've lost 6-8 players of that calibre in one foul sweep, you would have gone, right, I've had enough of this.
Yeah, no, you've got to respect that. Big respect to Liam.
So next question is from a podcast favourite, Joseph Andrews.
Yes, did you see that?
Yeah, we're not allowed to call him Joey.
No, apparently we've been calling Joey wrongly.
In the paper?
In the paper and on the podcast.
You have called me Darren before in the paper, but, you know.
Yeah, you can't get the staff these days.
Apparently you can't.
since the very first podcast, I'm pretty sure we called him Joey, and I'm pretty sure...
I think he's just after a bit of attention, aren't you? Aren't you, Joey?
by the question, it looks like it.
Yeah. Another belter from him. Would you rather be in an luminous duck or a see-through pigeon?
I thought about this last night when I seen it on Twitter. I reckon a see-through pigeon, just because I think you get around, wouldn't you, and not be seen and stuff. If you're a luminous, like, everyone's going to know you're there.
Like
a little fly on the wall kind of scene.
Yeah. And there's pigeon-eat-pigeon world out there, isn't it? You know, you want to be... Yeah, it is. That'll give you an advantage.
To be fair, though... We eat a lot of duck as well, so I think I'd rather go with a pigeon. I won't be on a Chinese plate. Well, you don't know, actually. Oh, yeah. You don't know.
Well, there you go.
Great question, Joseph.
Yeah, very well done, Joseph.
Yeah, well played, Joey.
Next question from Craig Cowan. Another good question.
So this relates, because obviously the picture we put up was with you and the boys from St Mary's, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Franny Dooley, Pippa, the legend that is Pippa, and obviously Jack McVeigh.
So yeah, who would you prefer to fight, Franny, Pippa or Jack?
Who would I prefer to fight? Or who would win in a... Pippa all day. I'd prefer to fight Pippa all day.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'd take Pippa out, no problem. You've seen what Jack's like on a football pitch. You don't want to get on his wrong side, that's a fact. And Franny's too nice, you never want to fight Franny. Now, Pippa's the mouthy one.
There's a charity boxing match coming up soon, isn't
it? Yeah, there's my new sport.
Yeah.
Out of football into boxing. I'll take that.
Tony Sewell, he says, not a question this week, he says, just thank Hudgie for his support and helping Jim's mental awareness cup game for the back on side and reach out trophy, I think, which is in aid of Cal Pete, wasn't he? He's currently going through a bit of a hard time. He said, please do contact him if you need a chat, he's a top man.
Yeah, that was a great day. Was a great day. I got some good players down as well.
Hattie
turns up with, 20 minutes to go with his camera. I said, no. There's a kit over there, Hattie. Don't get the kit on. So I came off and Hattie's there taking his glasses off. He's like, I can't see in front of me. How am I supposed to go and play? I can't see in front of me. I said, it's not my problem. You're going up front.
That's what he said on the podcast, wasn't it? Yeah, the ball was coming towards him. He had no idea.
You're going straight up front. Go and score as a goal. I think we were 4-1 down at that point. So
he said he had a hand in the goal, didn't he?
Yeah.
He said he threw ball played in the assist or something like that.
Oh, I must have looked away at that point. Or I must have not had Hattie's glasses on.
Yeah.
No, it was a great day, wasn't it?
Great day, great day. And back on side were brilliant as well.
Yeah.
Thanks to James as well for letting us play up there.
It's a really nice day. That'll be an annual event, hopefully?
Hopefully. I mean, we're, without saying too much, we're looking at bringing a trophy and a pre-season trophy to try and make pre-season a little bit more competitive. Because I think sometimes, you'll go to your lesser teams and... If you're winning 13-14-0 in pre-season, I'm not doing you any favours. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe we're going to try and set up a cup where it will be not like a league system, but a bit of a round robin kind of system. And at the end of it, you win your trophy and hopefully we can make that an annual thing where it becomes something worth winning.
Yeah. No, I'm sure clubs would be proud to be involved with it as well.
Definitely, fantastic.
Right, well, we got you in. It'd be remiss of us not to look at the weekend's fixtures. 5 games in the Premier League, as always. Starting off with what I've described in the Manx Independent this week is the most local derby in Manx football.
Couple of metres between the two clubs.
Yes, Paul Rose versus Douglas Athletic, Springfield Road derby. We should have gone and paced it out, really, Dave, but I reckon there must be 2 metres at most between the two sidelines. 3 metres? Because I was talking about Ballofletcher, you've got Corinthians and Douglas Royal, but there's the fences, isn't there? So that adds a little bit more.
Yeah, it's a lot closer up at Springfield. So it's down there.
Paul Rose host this weekend's games. They both have had tough starts this season, has to be said.
Yeah, obviously Paul are struggling for players, etc. But it sounds like they put up a good fight against Geordies last week.
Yeah.
Steve Priestnell got their first goal of the season, so obviously a plus sign for them.
And I believe Dezo obviously was in team of the week. Chris Cowan, he had another good performance. You said he played even in the 9-0 defeat the week before. He played well.
It could have been double that without him. He pulled off some worldies. So yeah,
the only goalkeeper I've ever seen in Manx football playing a coat.
Some boy, isn't he? Yeah, some boy.
Yeah. But Dezo obviously against a Douglas Athletic side that it all went terribly wrong in 45 minutes last week.
Yeah, you watched them play at Corinthians.
Is that what it was?
So it was 1-1 half time, and the final score was 11-2.
Seen that? I couldn't believe that when I seen it half time
1-1. Yeah, it was a combination of Corinthians suddenly the mojo clicked.
And
Douglas Athletic just were all over the shop.
Capitulated.
Yeah,
was it at Corinthians or was it up at
Springfield Road?
God, it's tough to score 11 goals up there. Yeah, it's like a postage stamp.
Yeah. And I have to say, in the first half and in the second, Adam Kvig, the new Douglas Athletic goalkeeper, pulled off a couple of very good saves. So,
yeah,
but yeah, so both teams will be pinpointing this points, won't they, Dave? I said in the preview, I think he's got a draw written all over it. But
it's hard to argue with you with that. I think Dafka is still sort of reeling because they've lost two of their biggest players. They're still sort of finding their feet a little bit, aren't they? Yeah, I think they'll get something out of this, I reckon. Yeah.
Luke Jolland, just a quick word for him. He scored both Douglas Athletic's goals last season. I think he's new to the island. His second goal was a lovely struck off volley that Quirker actually had well to tip it onto the inside of the post. But yeah, he looks like he could be a bit of a find. The other thing that was born out of last week's, and I'm sure they will try it again this week, was Mikey Callister's long throws.
Oh yes,
he's bringing back
player, Mikey.
Bringing back the days of Dave Chandler and the Tottenham Tranmere Rovers.
Roy Delap.
Yeah. So Adam, as Pulley, Douglas Athletic. You know, both teams on 0 points. It's always nice to get off the mark, isn't it?
Yeah, especially from a Douglas Royal point of view, these were the games you looked at and thought you have to win. You have to get something out of these games. So there's like around four or five teams that you have to compete against. The other ones you can use as training sessions, I suppose. I'm going to go with Douglas Athletic. I think Douglas Athletic, and I'm going to say 3-1.
Yeah, there'll definitely be goals in it. What did we say last week? There's only 141 goals across the four divisions. 145 actually, if you count the four it was on Friday night.
And so you worked that out. It's an average of how many?
About 7 goals a game last weekend. So you can't,
really?
You can't say that Manx football's boring.
Wow, that's an interesting stat.
So there should be goals in this. I'm going edging towards a draw, but you'd have to say Stido, you know, if he's suddenly found the goal trail, it would be hard to stop, wouldn't he?
Yeah, definitely. It should be close.
You're talking about the games, about teams that are down the bottom and maybe looking to take points off each other. Now, at the start of the season, we would have said Moran Laxey would have fallen into this bracket, but Laxey had a great start to the season, haven't they?
Fly, don't they?
Yeah, 2 wins from two.
Making a mockery of my Parisian production.
That's it. Banging in the goals for fun. Yeah, they're up in second at the moment, so good for them, but I think this weekend's going to be a bit tougher.
They've been boosted somewhat by their university contingent. I think at least, we work out 7 we're going to uni or something like that.
Well, I've got their first team squad in front of me for tomorrow, and it's certainly a lot depleted compared to last week.
Right.
You've got no Joe Walters, obviously. Your Andy Burkett's not there. Matty Wilkinson. All
Tommy Callum. Tom Cowan.
Yeah, Tom Cowan's there. He's going to play. But Johnny Bomb's named himself on the bench. I think that sort of says a lot.
Still bang goals in.
Yeah, but they're just struggling for numbers. But you know, they've still got a good squad there. Max Murley's in great form. He's in team of the week again.
I think the point I made in the paper again was that they can't be about a good start to the season, though. So there is a bit of depth there.
There is, definitely. And success breeds success, doesn't it? The feel-good factor's back there now. So hopefully they can kick on a bit.
And is it young Luke Struckett-Morlin? I think he scored quite a few goals in the...
He's in the first team tomorrow.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he gets on. He's sort of come up through the junior football ranks and see how he gets on at first team level. Just a quick word about Moran, Dave. You know, they lost their first couple of games of the season, haven't they?
Yeah, again, they're probably still trying to adapt to losing Higgy. Huge player to lose. They've got a good young squad there. I think they'll be all right come the end of the season. It might just take them a few weeks to get going.
Can they get anything out of this weekend?
Yeah, by all means. I wouldn't be surprised if this is a draw as well, to be honest.
What you thinking on this one?
At Moran, tough game. I'm probably going to go draw. Mm. I mean, I like Johnny Palmer. I think he can do something with Laxey.
Another one that's sort of toughed out a tough season with them. They looked like they were going down at some point last
Turned
year.
Turned around, didn't they, towards the end?
And he's sat sort of maybe sticking with it, and he's now going to maybe potentially reap the benefits of that, isn't he?
Well, Eric Clegg was at that match last week, and I think he said that they look fitter than they have done for a long time as well.
It's a young squad.
That's one thing you'll see with Johnny Palmer and their generation. Same with Wardy when he was at Old Boys. All about fitness.
Yeah.
Wins games over here.
Yeah, the second half.
Yeah.
Hopefully you can do bits. Laxey are a great club, but I'm going to go draw.
Draw with that one. Douglas Royal kick off their season almost in October, and they're playing their first match this season. They obviously had a free week in the first week.
They were due to play Castletown.
Free week, and then they've had the free week as well. So they start their season up at Belfast against Rushden United. Adam, your old club. Fitzy's again, young team there, isn't he?
But they've had experience now. They've had the experience of playing in that league. Lost Jacob Crook, which he's a massive, he's probably one of the better players I've played with on the Isle of Man. Great player. He'll be a big loss. But yeah, they've got that. They've got that first season behind them now.
Yeah.
And I honestly think they can kick on a little bit. Hopefully, anyway.
So we think, though, it's a tough task to take on Russian, though. And, you know, we look at their squad, we say it every year, potentially they underperform a little bit because, you know, the amount of players they've got. I was collared on social media last week because I said they didn't have a 100% record, but of course they do because they didn't. We weren't playing last week, but they won their first game 6-0 against Morale. They should be favourites for this one, shouldn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they've... losing Josh and Dan Hattersley, obviously a big blow to Russian, but they've certainly got other players that are more than capable of stepping up to the plate. So.
Jamie Johnston seems to come in and have filled the void nicely.
Yeah, obviously got the likes of Jack Saxon and Steve Riding anyway. There's so many talented players.
Big Al Maitland in the back.
Legend.
He's a good player.
Yeah, they'll be fine. I imagine the Spaniards will win this one fairly comfortably.
You agree, would you?
Not really. I don't know about fairly comfortably. Yeah.
All right.
I mean, when we played the bigger teams, it was normally up to half time. We were well in the game.
Yeah.
Remember against Corinthians, it was 1-0 Corinthians half time. Peel was 0-0 half time up at our place. And Russian, I think, was only about 3-0. No, 3-1 because Jacob Crook scored a worldie. Yeah. I'm going to go with 3-1 Russian.
3-1.
They will.
Don't think there'll be a walk up though.
They'll be desperate to get out there.
Yeah, depends how fit he's got them. Yeah, Fitty. But yeah, Fitty's a good manager, and he's got the youth now. He's got the legs, so
yeah.
Fingers crossed they can stay in it as long as possible and maybe grab a couple of goals.
Yeah.
Sort of derby, another derby. I'm going to call it, Dave. I'm probably overusing the phrase derby, which we always do in Max football because every game's a derby, really. But Douglas High School Old Boys welcome St George's in the Adam Hudgeon derby.
Yeah, we'll take that.
Yeah, to Blackberry Lane. We've talked about Old Boys already. It's a season of transition. It's a term we band about a lot as well, isn't it, Dave? Geordie's, though, they seem to have done it again, haven't they? They've unearthed another crop of young players. And I say unearthed, some people may say, well, they've come from unearthed to other clubs, but there you go. But they've brought them together, and it looks like Batty has another foundations to build another decade dominating team.
That's it. And you watched them on the opening day against Corinthians, and you were impressed with them.
Yeah, well, I was. I thought they played well, but without really offering a lot up front. But then that seems to have been cured spectacularly last week when Furo returned, didn't he? He scored four goals.
Yeah. So
I think he keeping him fit, he's going to have a good season. He's going to be key to their season. You know, obviously he had Pekka and Callum, you know, for bits around him last year. Ash is going to have to take time transitioning to a new team. So I think Furo is going to be the main man for a few weeks, as it were. And but
he'll enjoy that.
But St George's, Adams, you know, can they challenge for the title this season, or is it a bit too soon with them?
No, I think for me they were the one that when I read the predictions, I was quite surprised that they weren't bandied about because last season they were brilliant. At times they were brilliant in the finals and stuff like that. I honestly think that they'll be the ones that are going to push at Mary's this year.
Right,
I'm taking Peel out of the equation. I think they'll sit third. I think St George's will be the ones that will push at Mary's. You got Jacob Crook there as well. You've got some great players up there. And I think it's a testament to Batty that it shows how much of an actual manager he is.
Yeah.
I mean, this is it. I mean, that 10 years, you can look a bit like Fergie. Like, he had that crop of players. It was just perfect.
Yeah.
And they were brilliant. But it's a testament now to see that they're still kicking on with this younger group of players. Mm. He'll get them fit and he'll get them playing the right way. And once they do click fully, then they'll be a force. They will.
Massively. Old Boys, you know, you said they looked alright in spells against St Mary's last week. Can they get anything out of this one?
Blackberry Lane's a tough place to go. Really tough place to go for any team, whether you're top of the league or not. I it's such a bobbly pitch, it's horrible to play on. St George would never go up there and play out of their skins.
No.
It's normally a 1-0 or a 2-1 game. I think Geordie's a winner, but I don't think it'll be a walkover at all. Mm. I think Buckley will set them up tight. And it is hard up there.
Mm.
Yeah, Furo's a top striker, isn't he? And he's in form, yeah. So you can't bet against them scoring.
Dean Kinley, we think, should make his debut this week.
Suspension should be over by now.
So that could be an interesting first Premier League bow for that man. You know, he is you know, can hit a football, can't he? He's
a
tremendous player on his day, so it'll be interesting to see how he gets on in the top flight this season. Ramsey St Mary's, another could be, you know, a Hudson derby in a way. St Mary's, they've sort of seamlessly kept going from last season, haven't they, Adam? It's, you know, it's two wins and two, scoring lots of goals, bedded in the new strikers seamlessly. It seems everything's all right for Alex at the moment.
What a great job he's done as well. I think St Mary's were at a time where, when he came in, they weren't a fit side.
No.
They weren't playing great football. Steeder was banging a lot of goals in for them.
It's probably his goals that I think that kept them above the relegation.
He kept them there. And testament to him. And yeah. I think with Al coming in, obviously with his background with playing in America and certainly working with Jonesy and Dicko more closely now, you can tell that he's rubbing off on the rest of the team. Like he's been, last year he was absolutely brilliant, playing as well as managing. This year he started superb as well. He's going to keep them fit as well. He's going to keep them very fit. They're going to be a very, very strong team this year.
Yeah,
can't see many teams getting near them. I think Peel will be the ones that will get near them. They're always tough to play against up at Peel, but I think I'll nail it this year. I think.
We've talked about Ramsey, and we thought they may be a bit better equipped for the Premier League than maybe we think. They've had a tough introduction, haven't they?
They have.
They probably would have expected to get more out of the Leicester game last week, if they're being honest.
They probably would have done, but I think they're still short on a few players, aren't they?
Yeah.
So it's going to take them a few weeks to get up to speed.
The key with them, just to keep plugging away rather than get too disheartened. You know, because obviously the Peel game, they probably weren't expecting, but as I keep saying, that Leicester game, 6-0 was a bit of a shock result for me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think many people saw that one coming, to be honest, but... Ramsey will just want to make it tough for St Mary's. You know, I think, as you say, they won't have targeted this game to get any points out of Ramsey, but they'll just want to put down a good marker, get a feel for the Premier League football again, I think they'll put up a good fight. St Mary's should get the points in this one.
St Mary's are missing a couple this week, though, so you never know. Ballaclone's not the easiest place to go to, is it?
No, it's not. It's lovely to go up there, though. Lovely place to play. Ramsey's a tough one, isn't it? I mean, they have got some great young players. Dylan Pickles will score goals. He's a great striker. I don't know with them. I think they needed something out of that game last week, and that is such a kick in the teeth. I mean, you're not getting beat 1-0 there, you're getting walked over.
Yeah.
And from all accounts, from people that have been there, I've heard that, you know, there was just no go in them.
Right.
They had nothing about them at all. Like they were arguing with each other. Everything like that, and that's what your second game of the season can't happen that early.
Yeah.
I mean, you need to look at that game and think, let's just go and put up a fight. Let's stay in the game at least. Let's just stay tight, stay in the game, and see if we can nick a goal. But to go out and get walked over, it's going to be tough for them this year. It really is.
Yeah, and
a lot of young players.
You can't have that attitude against St Mary's, can you?
No, you can't. I think it probably could be a walkover tomorrow.
Yeah, especially with, as we've mentioned, Mr. Hattersley.
Yeah,
very much in form. 9 goals in 2 games.
Do you know what though? You know when you watch him, it doesn't look like he's even bothered.
No.
Doesn't he? Like when the ball's in the box, it doesn't even look like he wants to score.
Yeah.
And next minute he's walking off for 4 goals.
I know. So I thought against Pulley in the opening day. I mean, he missed a penalty as well, and he could have had more goals, but he wasn't throwing himself about. He was just if the ball was coming near him in the box, he was putting it in the back of the net, and that's pretty much it. But
you know, when he first came back to the island, we had him in for a podcast, and the thing I found really interesting, which would be interesting to see if he's doing with St Mary's, is he said, I can organise from the front. I've been there, I've done that. I know where to stand, where I want midfielders and stuff. It'd be interesting to see what influence he's having on that St Mary's team that was already a very good side. You see what I mean? So,
by the looks of his goal tally, I think he's doing just that.
Yeah.
So, can't say he's not. Not with that amount of goals.
So it'd be a long day at the office for Ramsey tomorrow. Right, JCK Division 2, 6 games in JCK Division 2. A couple of belters on the cards here tomorrow. I know you said it was a bit of a mixed bag in your preview day, but I think there's a few good games here.
Potentially, definitely. It's pretty much derby day in the division. You could look at most of them and think it's a derby, but I know, as you say, it is the Alamance. You look at every match like that. But
Kicking off at Billy Goat.
Your favourite place.
The spiritual home of football. Foxdale versus St John's. This should be a cracker.
It should. Foxdale drew with Braddon in the opening day, but they bounced back with a big win last week. St John's, top of the table, 2 wins from 2.
Obviously, we had the lads in last week. Everything going to plan, as it were.
Definitely a 4-0 win against Jim's. It set themselves up nicely for this, but this is going to be a tough battle. I think you're right. And I could see this one ending in a draw.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting on the fence, sorry.
You are sitting on the fence.
I am,
yeah.
Skull and Ron Seal. What do you think, Ed?
I think St John's should be strong enough to beat Foxdale for me. I think Watto's got a good little setup going down there, and he needs to rebuild now, and I think this could be a good time to play Foxdale, especially off the back of 2 wins.
Foxdale, we were saying a bit last week, have gone under the radar a bit this season because they've been so close to getting into that promotion place for maybe the last 2-3 seasons, and it's just not quite happened. And then with all the influx of big name players and such like to some of the other clubs, they sort of slipped down a bit, but they're still a good team, aren't they? They scored 10 goals against Malou, away at Malou last week.
Yeah, yeah. They're a very good side. You know, with the likes of Jay Chadwood up front and stuff, they've got the quality there, haven't they? Mm. So, yeah, I think... I am sitting on the fence, sorry. It's going to be a draw.
I'll go for the Mighty Dale to win this one. No, that won't happen. Callum and Adam, if they're listening, will be happy with that, but I'm going to go for a Dale win. The other game, slightly up the road a bit, to the Mighty Bolero, home of the worst disguised telephone mast in the Isle of Man. Michael United versus Ayr United. Now, you had some insight into the team news from Michael this week, haven't you, Dave?
Yeah,
it's not perhaps for the close game we thought it might be.
No, well, I'm hopefully going up to this match. I was hoping it was going to be a decent little battle. But yeah, Michael, Callum and Pekka are both absent. Hurtie's not going to play, by the sounds of it. Johnny Holland's struggling with a foot injury. So you've got 4 of your main players there already out. So who knows? But again, we don't know what sort of side they're going to put out either. I mean, we know they've added quality players. We haven't seen much of Sean Kelly yet. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they've got good players. So they'll start us as favourites. I think the Lizards doesn't get the points in this one.
Yeah. Tangerine's view.
Oh, check you out. Nice. Yeah. Well done. That's a first.
No more draws.
Not filling his coupon now, is he?
Yeah, without them players, it's going to be tough, isn't it, for Michael? Michael Millionaires, is that what we call them? I'm going to go with there. They've strengthened. I just hope that with them strengthening, and if they do get that push and they go up, that these players stick around, because
there's nothing worse, is there?
Nothing worse than getting them up there and then everyone running away, going, moving to a different
Division 2 club,
and it's like, there's a good setup. Yeah. Great youth setup as well. So hopefully they can crack on this season. Going to go with them to win.
Yeah, I think it would be putting that down as a away win as well. Unimels versus Onken. Now Onken got off to a great start last week.
Big win against Colby, wasn't it?
Yeah, Colby, obviously the former team in the Isle of Man this year, won a rare defeat for them at the home of spiritual home of Stock Car Racing
and Dan Rinson.
I think Onken, great result. Unimels obviously tipped heavily to featuring the promotion places pre-season. Big win for them over Gunners last week.
As you would expect.
But this is going to be a tough game for them, isn't it?
Yeah, I think this is a chance for both these sides to lay down an early marker in this. As you say, I think Auckland surprised a few people with that result last week. They've sort of gone about their business sort of below the radar a little bit because they lost a fair few players in the summer. Yeah. So they may surprise a few people. There's still no word of when the likes of Sam Kane and that are going to play for Unimills, but Matty Kane was obviously in good scoring form last week. He's going to be a massive player for them, so I think Mills will just about edge this.
Yeah, and I saw Colin McGarity scored as well. He's sort of, again, another player that's got under the radar with the rivals of Luke and Jordan Crawley, but he had a great season 2 seasons ago.
He did, yeah.
And so they can harness his potential again. You know, he's a fantastic little player. So I might have to join Dave on the fence for this one. I reckon this could be a draw.
I'm not saying draw for this one, I'm saying Mills.
You know, for the Mighty Millers. Hodges nodding, yeah?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Mills. They've signed some good players, haven't they?
Yeah.
Again, a good setup, good youth teams and stuff like that. I'm Onken are one of them teams, aren't they? I'd love to see them do a little bit. I'd love to. Just growing up around Onken, like, I'd love to watch them go up and really give it a go, but I just don't think it's their time. I think Union Mills will push again this season.
Dulson District versus Brad and Dave. Now, D&D. We've seen the best and worst of them this season, haven't we, already?
Yeah, I think that result on the opening day against Michael was good, but then obviously last week didn't go quite to plan against there, so the 7-0 defeat, I think it was. But Braddon, again, they got that draw against Foxdale on the opening day, and you know, I think people were sort of wondering what they'd do this year. Obviously, didn't have a first team last year, but I think that was a positive sign for them. This one, I think the Swans will be favourites to win.
Yeah.
I think they'll just about edge this, but you never know.
Hudgie, obviously D&D play on Nobles Park, another one of the tight, tricky pitches that are scattered around the Isle of Man. As Dave has said before, does the slope act as a leveller?
It does. It really does. Yeah. We went up there twice when I was with old boys.
In the cup,
one of the times we went to extra time.
Yeah. Sunday night, yeah.
Yeah, that was just down to the fact that the pitch was horrendous, and it does take out of you, you know, when you're playing down that side and the ball's...
Yeah.
Especially when you're going to have to get the ball, you know, for a throw-in. You're running halfway down the road. Tough place to go. It's always been one of them tough places. Braddon should have enough, though, I think.
It'd be an interesting result. I think D&D, again, you talk about Onken and Union Mills laying down a marker. If D&D get a point out of this, that sets them up nicely for a good season, I think. You know,
I think you're right. It does.
We'll have to wait and see. I think the Swans maybe just edge this one. Jim's versus Governor's Athletic. Almost a basement battle, this one, isn't it? But
it's a Tony Sewell derby.
Tony Sewell derby.
Yeah, they're all derbies.
Yeah. Obviously, Governor's taken it, shipped a few goals in the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, not been a great start. Obviously, there's been a bit of instability around the managerialship, but they've got a new man in charge this week, I believe. So, they'll want to get their season started. And this is one of the games where they could get some points. But Jim's, I think Jim's will have a bit too much for them. I think they'll, especially with home advantage, I think the Tremaine side will get this one.
Adam?
I'm not sure how strong Jim's are. I know, obviously, from the Cal Peak thing we did. I know that I was quite impressed with the way they played. They had some good players. They were quite strong at the back. I think they should have enough, shouldn't they? Governor's Athletic have, 24 goals in the first two games?
Yeah. There's 40 heavy in the first set. Week. And what was
it? 12, was it?
Yeah, 26 they've shipped. I think they've scored a couple. So
13-2 it was, yeah. Mills. That's a lot of goals.
Yeah.
That's a lot of disheartened heads.
And especially the last game was at the Bemmerhagel, the Bemmerbau. Which can act as a, you know, we thought again, a leveller. To ship 13 games goals at home.
But you've got to think it's a flat pitch. A team can play football on it. Whereas some other places like Douglas and District, you'll go there and have a hard time because you can't play football on it.
Yeah.
So it could work in the opposition favour as much as it could for them, really.
I think, I mentioned in 4-5-1, like with Jim's, you know, we know they've got the talent there. I mean, when they played Geordies last year in the Cup, they pushed them all the way. And if that's the sort of thing that Tony should be looking at, trying to replicate that on a weekly basis. Obviously, it's difficult to raise your game all the time, isn't it? And
they were short that week as well, because didn't we have them in the week before? And he said, oh, we've got a load of players, which is essentially the Jim's combi.
Yeah.
So
it shows you what can be done on the day, doesn't it? But
it's football, Dave.
It is. Who knows?
That's it.
Rycock versus Malou rounds out the action in JCK Division 2 this weekend. Looks to me a home win. Malou have had a tough start to the season. They're in that bracket we talked about before. Youthy, again, should be there or thereabouts come the end of the season, shouldn't they?
Yeah, and I think they got off to a good start with that win against there on the opening day, but then they
disappointed.
Lost.
Yeah, they lost to Brandon. They'll be disappointed with that one.
Yeah, but this is the perfect game for them to bounce back. Home advantage and against a team which is really struggling at the moment, trying to find its feet. But Malou do have good players there. We know Furby's gone back there. You know, Cal's a good manager, so you never know what they'll do on the day, but I think you feel be too strong.
Yeah, I agree. Yuffie's still missing Dan Sherry.
He's still travelling.
He
broke his leg, didn't he, last year in the Ramsey game?
He's in Bali, I think.
Good player, though. He was a good player. He was a standout player when I watched him. So if they get him back fit, they'll push. they should have more than enough to beat Malou tomorrow, though.
Yeah, 3 points will be staying in the Pondy on Saturday night. Right, Comby Corner, Dave.
Right, well, Peel, Rush and Laxey and Corinthians all continued their 100% winning starts to the Comby 1 season. They all recorded good wins last weekend, while St Mary's have begun the defence of their title with victory at Old Foes, Old Boys. Rush were the biggest winners of the day. They thrashed Castletown in their derby match 9-0. Peel, not far behind, they were 8-0 winners at Moran. Laxey, again, high scoring, just like the first team, they're doing well. 8-3 winners over Ramsey, while St Mary's were 5-1 winners.
Good result, that, because Ramsey has done well in Comby 2 last year.
They did, yeah. So Yeah, that is good. Luke Strickett, Morland got 4 goals in that game, and as I mentioned, he's in the first team this week, so it'll be interesting to see how he does. The Corinthians, they were awarded the walkover against Africa because they couldn't field the team, I believe. In Corby 2, it's a similar story. Jim's, Corby, D&D and Rykob have all made 2 wins of 2. Jim's are the early leaders. They had an epic battle with St John's last week, and they came out on top 4-3, so well done to them. Colby, they edged past Onken 2-1 down at the Station Fields. The legend that is Christian Stereopoulos.
Yeah. Goalkeeper.
Great goalkeeper. Yeah. He is a quality goalkeeper.
And D&D, they won 6-4 against United. Jake Turner, Oliver bagging a hat-trick there. So they're doing well. And Youthy were 2-1 winners over Braddon. And the other game, we saw Malou got a 3-0 win at Foxdale, which was good for them. And also Governors Athletic, a rare win for Govs. They beat Union Mills 2-1.
Great result for them, that.
Yeah, so...
well done to them.
Yeah, I hope they can kick on from that.
Yeah, D&D as well, that's a good result for them, 6-4, because I believe...
I was thinking that, yeah.
Combi will be a strong team this year, so yeah, well done D&D. Well, kicking on from last year, I think they finished, what was it?
They were 4th last year, which is a club record. Yeah, they've got... good setup there. Consistency is key for them. So yeah, well done to them.
Right, Dave reads the weather. I'm looking out the window, and it looks bloody lovely, Dave.
It's been great. It's been great the past couple of days, isn't it?
Yeah, it's.
Is it going to change, Dave?
Late summer. No, we're okay for the next couple of days. So it'll stay sunny for most of today. Saturday's also dry and bright, mostly sunny, but with a little bit of rain possibly later on. But there is going to be strong winds, so hold on to your hats, Hattie. I'm looking at you.
Dave, of course, is making his. Oh, I was going to say annual pilgrimage to Billy Goat Park this weekend.
He's
not really going. He could get him watch.
Yeah. He goes there a lot, so I'd say it's more than annual.
Yeah, and he'll be in the Baltic afterwards.
So you have been warned. right, just before we go, a bit of any other business. Dave, you had spoke to Brody Patience this week?
Yeah,
messaged.
Messaged on Facebook. That's how the kids are these days. he's doing really well at the University of Houston. He's playing for Victoria Jaguars. They've had a perfect start to the season. They've won their opening 6 games. He's been in fine form. He's got 4 goals, I think, and he's got several assists. He's absolutely flying, and he's looking onwards and upwards. So there's a piece in the Manx Independent.
A complete with some lovely colour photographs as well. and of course, next week, next Saturday, the build-up begins because it's the FA Interleague Cup game. The LMN FA take on Cheshire.
Down at the Bowl.
At the Bowl, 5:30 kickoff.
Yes, which is good. So it means that anyone that's out at the afternoon games can still go down to the Bowl.
So we will, of course, have a full lead-up to that in next week's papers. And I can exclusively reveal that we'll be joined by Frank Jones and Chris Bass for next week's podcast.
Legends.
As we look ahead. Two of the older heads in that squad now,
Adam. They are legends, though.
Yeah. Super, super Frank.
Ask Agent Rashid, it's super, super, super.
Adam, thanks so much for coming in and being so honest. It was a great part. Really enjoyed today.
Yeah, thank you very much as well.
Good luck with the rest of you. Good work that you're doing. If people want to reach IOM, it's on Facebook, isn't it?
It's on Facebook, yeah. You can hit on Facebook, Instagram. You can message me privately.
Yeah,
it's up to you. We should be around Twitter. We're on LinkedIn as well. Just give us a shout if you need us.
Please get in touch. And if anyone wants to sponsor or do anything with you, please do get in touch with me.
Yeah, we're looking for funding. So anybody out there that can help us with that, that'd be amazing.
Yeah. Well, good luck with the rest of the venture.
Cheers.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Great work. Right, that's about it for this week, then.
It is. Ta-ta for now.